So Brian is right. I can't really talk about anything, so I'm just going to sit down. I think for those of you who are familiar with the rulemaking process, we had a notice of proposed rules for stage two meaningful use for both the CMS rule and an ONC rule. That comment period closed, and we're in the process of reviewing comments and writing a final rule. So there's not a lot that I can really say about the stage three rule. I do have a couple of slides about the stage three rule. But one thing I wanted to take advantage of while I was here, though, is tell everyone how great they're doing. I think you might remember last year and the year before, I was like, oh, guys, come on, look at these slides. They're horrible. And, you know, everyone like left kind of sad. But today we should all be really happy because I think the slides that I'm going to show you guys today about how we're doing in stage two just look so much better. And especially if we look at the hospitals and especially those hospitals that are currently in stage two. Remember, some hospitals started late, so they might still be in their last year of stage one meaningful use. But if we break out the hospitals for 2014 and those who are in stage one versus those who are in stage two, if we look at the ones who are in stage two, we've got a huge number of hospitals who are reporting, which means they're actually meeting the measure for all three of the required measures for hospitals: syndromic surveillance, electronic lab reporting, and immunizations. So this is really showing that for 2014, if we look at those hospitals that are in stage two, everyone is meeting almost all the measures. And what that also means is that public health is doing their job and taking their data, getting them registered, doing all the things that we've talked about all along the way. So I know in past years we've heard from CMS, who's not here yet, that you know, you guys aren't doing your job, it looks really bad. But I think this year, this slide shows us that we're actually doing really, really well. And then just kind of breaking it up by measure, if we look at immunization reporting for the stage two hospitals, 88% of the hospitals are actually meeting that measure, which is huge. That's a huge number. Three of them are excluding the measure because they don't, 3% are actually excluding because they don't give immunizations. And only 9% are not reporting because they're making the claim that their local jurisdiction cannot accept data. Remember, those numbers for claiming that their jurisdiction could not accept data were much bigger in previous years. And even in our stage one numbers, the percentage that are excluding because the public health jurisdiction can't take the data is extremely low. So I think all of this is really great news for public health and helps us as we're developing our stage three policies. For syndromic surveillance, it's similar numbers. We've got 75% of the hospitals that are in stage two actually reporting on that measure. Only 21% saying that they could not do it because the local jurisdiction could not accept data, and 4% claiming the exclusion because they don't have an emergency department or urgent care that would be eligible to submit syndromic surveillance data. And finally, with ELR, we've got 85% of hospitals that are in the process of reporting ELR data, which, I mean, that's, you guys deserve a round of applause for that one. That one's, come on, that's amazing. I've seen some implementation folks who've been working on this here, so that's all you guys. That's really, I mean, that number is so high compared to where we were 2 years ago, so that's great. And I know people are going to say, but that doesn't really mean they're all submitting data. That's true. Some of them are in the process of onboarding. We've got 85% of them actually in the process or submitting data, which is a really great number to see, and only 15% saying that they could not submit data because their jurisdiction could not accept it. So I think, you know, that's my big message for today, is I think public health has done a great job in getting that infrastructure in place. We had the stage two meaningful use task force that developed all the processes for how we actually get all of these people on board for all of these measures. And it's all really working. I think these numbers really point to that. And it really helps me do my job, because when I go to our senior leadership and ask them to put new measures in for public health, we can look back at these numbers and say, okay, we can no longer say public health isn't playing, they're not accepting the data. We've got the numbers that prove that. So it's something that we asked you guys to do a couple years ago, and you really came through. And I think this is really great news. All of this hospital data is actually on a data brief that you can find on the ONC Meaningful Use website. We haven't released the data for 2014 for eligible professionals yet, but the numbers look very similar for eligible professionals. The numbers are really high for eligible professionals. So watch for a data brief coming out soon. But all of these slides I pulled directly from our data brief that's currently on the ONC website. If you want more detail or more numbers or see some nicer maps, they're all on our website. So I am going to say a little bit about the Stage 3 rule, what I can say. Not much. We'll leave that to Art and Laura. So remember, for the Stage 3 rule, there were two rules. There's a CMS rule that's the meaningful use rule that talks about functionality, and then there's the ONC rule that talks about what are the certification criteria for EHRs. So they're two different rules. They go together very nicely. When you hear the 2015 edition rule, that's the ONC rule. When you hear a Stage 3 rule, that's the CMS rule. So it is always good to remember that there are actually two rules. The ONC rule has a new base definition for what an EHR should do. There are no optional or required criteria. And one of the interesting things that we did with our ONC rule was to try to actually decouple it from the CMS rule. So if there are other federal programs out there around healthcare reform or SIM grants who are looking to incorporate public health more into what's going on in their states, they can also refer to this certification program and require that EHRs use this 2015 certified EHR technology. It's not exclusively for the CMS rule. We decoupled it from that. For the CMS rule, it's called the Stage 3 rule, but one important thing to remember is it's aligning all three stages of meaningful use. So when I showed you those slides for Stage 2, Stage 1 and Stage 2 hospitals were different because they're different requirements for the hospitals. What Stage 3 does is actually make all the requirements the same across every stage. So it's not really going to be stages anymore. And this is really CMS's final rule. There aren't going to be any changes to this. This is the final rule. And it goes into place in 2018. It's required to be in place in 2018. Providers can choose to implement it optionally in 2017. It aligns all the reporting periods as well, so there's no more fiscal year for EPs, calendar years for EPs, fiscal years for hospitals. It aligns all that. It's calendar year reporting. And a big part of it was to simplify the rule. That was probably the major objective for Stage 3, is trying to make it simpler, easier to understand. So a lot of things came out. There are no longer concepts of core and menu sets where you have to choose certain things around different places. They really wanted to make it very simple. So they narrowed it down to 8 objectives. So the new Stage 3 rule only has 8 objectives. So I've listed the 8 objectives here for you. And you'll notice that the last one is public health and clinical data registry reporting. So that's objective 8. So everything that we're concerned with now goes into objective 8. Just because it's one objective, though, don't think that all of the rich data that we've collected in Stage 1 and Stage 2 has gone away. There are measures within objective 8 that are reflective of what were previously in the Stage 1 and Stage 2 requirements. So the overall goal of Objective 8, it's kind of similar to what we saw in Stage 2, is that the eligible professional, the eligible hospital, or the critical access hospital has to be able to submit electronic public health data in a meaningful way using certified technology. So that's referencing back to the ONC rule, that they have to have certified technology to do this, except where prohibited and in accordance with law and practice. And then within that objective, there are 6 possible measures. Eligible professionals have to choose 3 of those measures, and eligible hospitals have to choose 4 of those measures. So that's the overall objective for public health. And then within that overall objective, there are 6 measures. 5 of them apply to eligible professionals, and they have to choose 3 of them. 6 of them apply to eligible hospitals, and they have to choose 4 of them. So it's a little bit more that they have to do in Stage 3 than they did in Stage 1 and Stage 2, and there are also some new options that are available as well. So this slide actually combines both the ONC rule and the CMS rule. The measure from the CMS rule is listed in the first column, and then the next two columns talk about the standards, and those are from the ONC rule. So I'll just go through these quickly and talk about where there are major updates to the standards. We'll start with immunization registry reporting. That each of the measures, the objective for the measure is just like the objective for the overall objective, that you have to be submitting data in a meaningful way. So if you're going to choose measure 1, you have to be doing that for immunization data. There is a brand new implementation guide for immunization reporting, and it's actually very different from the previous guides because it calls for bidirectional reporting. In Stage 1 and Stage 2, the providers just had to electronically submit the immunizations that they were giving. In Stage 3, it actually says they also have to accept a history and a forecast from the immunization information system. So this is the first time that we're really seeing bidirectionality called out in the public health meaningful use measures. So the CMS measure says they have to accept a history and a forecast, and then on the ONC side, we actually certify that they're not only sending the data according to the implementation guide, but they have that capacity to receive and display the history and the forecast. So I know there's probably not a lot of immunization folks in the room, but I think this one's really important. And the forecasting part is really cool because every immunization information system has a really good way of forecasting what shots are due. And it's actually a lot harder than you think. I don't know how many of you have kids and have looked at the little one-page sheet from CDC that looks like you can just count shots by age. It actually gets way more complicated than that. As soon as you're one day off schedule, or even if you gave it too soon, some have to be 30 days apart, it completely throws you off schedule and the forecasting gets very complicated. So the immunization information systems really wanted to make sure that their forecasting was part of the electronic health records and not a more simplified version that might have been a part of the EHRs where they're just counting shots by age. For syndromic surveillance reporting, that's in there as, welcome Janet, glad to see you here. For syndromic surveillance reporting, it's in there pretty much the same as it was in Stage 1 and Stage 2. Still applicable in the NPRM for both eligible professionals and eligible hospitals, and there's an updated guide that I think clarifies some of the ambulatory setting reporting that we referenced in the ONC rule. I'm going to come back to case reporting because that one's really cool. Public health registry reporting is there. That one's left a little bit open for any of the other types of registries that public health might have. In order to meet that measure, though, there has to be a comparable ONC rule for a standard. So in this edition of the standards, we have one for reporting to cancer registries that is similar to Stage 2, except it's a consolidated CDA now. We have one for reporting healthcare-associated infections. This one's exciting and new as well. This is about the kind of reporting that a hospital would do to NHSN, and we specifically call out the antibiotic use and resistance reporting to NHSN. So that's something new that hospitals can do now to meet their meaningful use requirements. And then there's also a new standard in there for meeting this measure around hospital surveys. There's surveys that hospitals and providers have to do working with CDC, so reporting to that can count for meaningful use now as well. Those two within public health registries are kind of interesting because the reporting is actually going to CDC, not to the state. So it's kind of an interesting twist that we haven't had in meaningful use where some national reporting counts as well. Measure 5 is clinical data registry reporting, which is the idea that there might be some other entities that are collecting data that aren't public health agencies, like specialized disease registries or smoking cessation programs that are beneficial to public health but aren't necessarily run by public health, and providers could also report to those. We don't have a standard listed in on the ONC side for this currently. And then measure six is electronic reportable lab results, which is pretty much the same as in stage one and stage two, with just an updated implementation guide that aligns it more with the laboratory reporting initiative profile. So there's some alignment with other lab functionality. So let's go back to measure three, which is case reporting, which I think is probably the one most exciting to this audience. This one is brand new, and it's really about the physician and the hospital reporting that clinical information to a public health department electronically that goes above and beyond what's in ELR. So if you think about what comes in with ELR and the timing of ELR, if you think about something like measles, a physician might forget to call you when they have a suspect measles case, and you don't hear about it until you get the lab results, when that lab result comes in. And maybe it's too late to do some of the interventions that you might like to do. And maybe that ELR, because it came from Quest, because the hospital sent it out, didn't even include that demographic information that you need to make the contacts to start the investigation. This is really about the physician having the capacity to report that directly from their EHR so that they can report both information that's in the electronic health record, but it also calls out for providing an infrastructure to collect information additional to what's in the EHR. So if you wanted to collect information around whether or not they may have been part of an outbreak or if they had specific travel history, the standard that's called out, and I'm not going to go into a lot of detail because Brian's telling me I have to quit, is it's called structured data capture, but it allows for public health to control some questions that get displayed right in the EHR seamlessly. So it's kind of like when you're shopping on a retail website and you go to PayPal and that PayPal experience comes right into the retail website. It knows what you've purchased already. It's kind of that same idea that a public health form can come right into the EHR. It knows all of the information that the EHR knows, all the demographic information. But then if there's some additional information that might not be in the EHR, like travel history, or even something like pregnancy status for an STD, which isn't always easy to pull from an electronic health record, those data fields could be there for the physician to fill out in real time or at a later point, depending on what their workflow is, and all of that information would be submitted electronically to public health. So those are all of the measures within the public health objective. And I think that's probably all I can say about stage three.
Thanks, Jim.